Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
God reaches down out of heaven and he has GRACE on his arm. We, men and women, have written on our arm faith. And when we exercise our faith and believe the promise of God in Jesus Christ, we are made right with God. We are justified by putting our faith in him. You got it? God reaches to us in grace. We reach up to him in faith, and that is a transaction that takes place. That's exactly what Paul is picturing here in the relationship between faith and grace. A father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom he believed, even God. Now this is a big Godder. This is a big God. Look what God does, the latter part of verse 17, who gives life to the dead, who calls into being that which does not exist.
The truth is, you serve a promise-keeping God. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Keys to the Promises of God, and shows you what it means to truly believe that God will keep every life-giving promise he's made to you. So keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource being offered this month that you may find especially helpful in these challenging times. It's Dr. Young's booklet called Loneliness, and it's our way to say thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching people all over the world through this program. People everywhere deal with the devastating effects of loneliness, and it's only gotten worse in recent months. But God created you for a life of fellowship and fruitfulness as you learn to love others just as he loves you. And Dr. Young's booklet will help you embrace that life of community and relationship. So call now to request your copy of Loneliness when you give to keep this program encouraging you and many others around the world. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Keys to the Promises of God, Part 2.
I meet a lot of people that are living together and they're unmarried. And this couple will look me right in the eye and say, you know, what's wrong with it? You know, we both agree, we're consenting adults. You know, what's wrong with this? And they really feel, as far as I can determine, no sense of guilt about living together and being unmarried. And some people are living together just because they don't have the same address for all practical purposes they're living together. They say, well, what in the world is wrong with that? We're running an experiment. We're seeing if we're compatible. We're seeing if it's going to work out. We're really finding out about one another. You know, what in the world is wrong with that? And sometimes they really are convincing. But when the law comes, and these who are living together begin to hear the principles of God about adultery, then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit many times will bring guilt and a twinge of conscience that they never felt before. Now, those who are living in virtual ignorance about what they're doing is right or wrong, they have the law of hell and death upon them, though they don't know it. They wonder, why do I feel lonely? Why do I feel unsatisfied? Why do I have to have racket going all the time? Why do I have to stay on the move? Why can't I concentrate? Why do I have trouble getting on? And all the other, they don't understand, because it happens so slowly and imperceptibly that their life is out of contact with the divine. And the law of hell and death is upon them, but they don't really understand that. They think everything, they explain away in a different way. Now, when someone is living together in adultery and they hear the truth of God, "Thou shalt not," then there is a new feeling of judgment upon them. And hopefully the law diagnoses your sin and my sin, Christian and non-Christian. We begin to say, "Hey, this is wrong in my life. This attitude, this conduct, this way in which I'm living, this temper that I have." See, that's what the law does. It is a diagnostician. So just because we live by faith and are justified by faith, we don't throw the law out. The law has a very, very positive function for those who will hear it and understand it is from God. It's not God saying, "I don't want you to have a good time. I don't want you to enjoy life." God is saying, "This is the way I built this world. And you'd better get on the way the designer put you together and put us together and put this world together if your life is going to ultimately count for something and if it's going to make sense." He said, "The law brings about wrath." And that's simply God saying, "You're on your own." And I can tell you, it is a lonely world and a frightening world when the hand of God is taken off any life. That's what faith is not. It's not the law. But then we see what faith does. Look at verse 16 and 17. "For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law," that would be the Jewish people, "but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham," that would be the Gentiles, because Abraham technically, get this, was a Gentile when he was justified by the Lord prior to being circumcised. The circumcision was an initiation into race. It was a rite, a seal of the fact he belonged to God. He was God's peculiar people. So the faith is the same here. "The promise may be certain to all the descendants and to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith, who is the father of all." I want you to see, first of all, the relationship here between faith and grace. Now, we love the word grace. It is a popular word. Thank the Lord for grace. How is the process of us being right with God, of us being justified with God, with you and myself being saved and sanctified and in the family of God, how does grace and faith relate to one another? Grace is unmerited favor, right? Grace is when we receive something that we do not deserve. We have defined grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, how does that operate? It operates like this. God reaches down out of heaven and he has grace on his arm. And he reaches down for those who want to get right with him. We, men and women, have written on our arm faith. And when we exercise our faith and believe the promise of God in Jesus Christ, and he reached down in grace, when faith from a human perspective and grace from a divine perspective, when these two join, there you have righteousness and justification. We are made right with God. We are justified by putting our faith in him. You got it? God reaches to us in grace. We reach up to him in faith, and that is a transaction that takes place. That's exactly what Paul is picturing here in the relationship between faith and grace. So this is what faith does. This is how faith operates. And then that next verse expounds on this even more. It says, verse 17, "A father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom he believed, even God." Now this is a big Godder. This is a big God. Look what God does, the latter part of verse 17, "who gives life to the dead, who calls into being that which does not exist." Faith takes us in the family of God, and faith makes us right with God. And faith in this kind of God, we discover, is a God who takes something that is dead and brings it alive. He takes something that's not there, that's void, and he puts something there. And when Abraham exercised faith in God, he was exercising faith in a God who could take that which was dead and bring life, and a God who could speak, and when there was nothing, there would be something. Now, if you are worshiping and believing a God that tremendous, that gigantic, that powerful, you're a big Godder. And that's the kind of faith Abraham exercised in this God. And then the other verses, he gives us sort of a panorama of faith, beginning with verse 18. He says, "In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be." Verse 19, "And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body." This is Abraham now. "Now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb." Did you get that? What was the promise God made to Abraham? That he would have an heir. He'd have a son. And this son would be the heir to the nations of the world, and ultimately there would be an heir that would inherit the whole world. That's a tremendous promise. But God had made this promise to old Abram a long time ago. And now Abram, when he was about 90 years of age, the promise had not been completed. You know what the word Abram, and by the way, that was Abraham's original name, was Abram. Abram means the father of many. And in those days, your name stood for something. What your name meant should be an indication of your life. And so can you imagine when all the traders would come? By the way, Abraham was a wealthy man, a prosperous man. He had all the trappings that his ancient world would give to any individual. He had it all. He had everything. And can't you imagine when he would meet a new trader and they'd say, "What's your name?" "Abram." "Oh, Abram, father of many." "How many children do you have?" "None." "And everything, what's your name?" "Abram." "How many children do you have?" "None." And he went through the exercise for years and years and years and years and years. And finally, one day in his devotional time, God spoke to him and said, "Abraham, you remember my promise?" "Yes, Lord." "When are you going to do it?" "Oh, it's going to come, Abraham." "Oh, I believe you, Lord. By the way, Abraham, I'm going to change your name from Abram. I'm going to change your name to Abraham. Abraham. Which means father of multitudes." And he hadn't had his first child, legitimately. And Abraham went home and told his wife, Sarah. He said, "You know, in my quiet time of day, God spoke to me and said, my name is no longer going to be Abram." And she said, "Well, thank goodness, man, we've been embarrassed about that for years, no children." Said, "No, God told me I'm going to be Abraham, father of multitudes." She said, "Oh my goodness, how are we going to handle this thing?" And that's the way it went. Now here are two old people. Abraham's body is dead sexually. Sarah's womb is empty. It's empty, childless. And he's 100 and she's 89. But look at the faith of Abraham. It's the craziest thing you've ever heard. Listen to it. Verse 20, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief." but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, verse 21, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You know, I think I'd get a little skeptical along now. What about you? I'd wonder if I was hearing God correctly. You know, I would be a little confused. But not Abraham. Look at it. He grew strong in faith. What does this mean? When we have to wait in faith, this gives us strength. See, if we would just pray in a week or two and bang, that'd take place. Boy, that's great faith. But sometimes we pray about things, we give things to God, we cry out to God, we confess to God, we say, God, work this out, work through this, and we have to simply sit back and wait in faith. When you and I wait in faith, this makes us strong, this makes us grow. And how important it is that we grow in our faith. Time does that. Time does that. And he said, Abraham believed the promise. Would you have believed that promise? You say, well, I think I would have faded out on God along there. Abraham didn't. That's the kind of faith we have to have. In the Bible, someone has counted 7,474 different promises. Did you get that? God has made in the Bible 7,474 promises. Let's just say, for sake of argument, that 5,000 of those promises are for everybody. Let's say the others were specific promises. And by the way, in the Bible, there are two words for promise. One is a conditional promise, and that is, I promise to do this if you'll do that. That's a conditional promise. Another word for promise is an unconditional promise. I will do that regardless of what you do or what takes place. You have my word on it. The promise God made to Abraham was an unconditional promise. He made it unilaterally. You know, it was beyond understanding. It was just God's grace and Abraham's faith. And here's the promise. Now, if in the Bible there are 7,474 promises and say there's still 6,000 of those promises that are still available to you and me, I forgot to ask you a question. How many of those promises did you claim for yourself this week? Did you pick out one of those, say, 6,000 promises that are still extant, available for you and me, and did you sit down on it and say, Lord, I claim this promise this week? How many did you claim? They're there. They're all over. That's a pretty good indication as to whether or not we have the faith Abraham had, doesn't it? Abraham sat down on that promise. And then the latter part of this chapter, it says, therefore it was reckoned to him as righteousness, verse 22, not only for his sake was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sakes, that's your sake and my sake, for our sake, also, to him it will be reckoned as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Now, what is this saying? It is saying the fact that Abraham, who was dead in his body, and Sarah, whose womb was empty, when death comes to you and me and sin and our lives are empty, this God, if we are a big Godder and exercise that kind of faith, he can bring life where we're dead in sin. He can bring into existence there in that place which was nothing. Now let's just drop back a minute. Abraham and Sarah had just bought a little home in Sun City. They were in a retirement community. Abraham, father of multitude with no children, asked by everybody now, not how many children do you have? They'd say, how many grandchildren do you have, father of multitudes? He'd say, none. Well, how many children do you have? None. And you're the father of multitudes? He was dead Sarah's room was empty, and maybe once in a while he'd kind of wink at her and say, "Remember the promise of God?" And she would say, "Yeah." But then the news went out in the retirement center, this couple had nothing but Social Security and the promise of God. Medicare and faith. But can you imagine the excitement that came in the retirement center when the word went out that the doctor says, "Sarah is pregnant"? I'd love to go to that baby shower. Can you imagine? It's the first time they'd ever had a stroller to move into retirement center, and this was one of the oldest couples there. Can't you imagine? Everybody walked a little taller. Everybody took a little straighter step, and all the couples look at each other and say, "You just never can tell, can you?" That which was dead, resurrection took place. And that which was empty was filled with a child. You say, "That's absurd." It's not near as absurd as the fact there are some here this morning who are grappling and wondering, "Can God ever forgive me? Can God ever forgive me for that affair I had with that little girl back in college that I can't get out of my mind, that I feel so guilty about?" Or somebody is going to say, can the Lord ever get me out of this habit I'm caught in that's just taking the joy out of my life? Can God ever get me out of this trap? Can God ever give me the courage to make right that money that I know I extracted that's immoral and illegal? Will God ever get me out of that? Those words of half-truths and untruths, innuendos I uttered against that friend back there and nobody knows about it. Can I ever get extricated out of that particular painful situation? The answer, if you're a big Godder and put your faith in Jesus Christ, as absurd, as impossible as a 100-year-old man and an 89-year-old woman having a baby, let me tell you, exercise that kind of faith and God will forgive you, forgive me of whatever you put in that blank. He'll give you new life when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and your weight down upon God. What is this whole chapter all about? He who can take that which is dead and bring it to life, he can take and speak that which when there is nothing and there is something. God is simply saying to everybody here, take off your parachute by faith in what I have given to you and what I am doing in you and through you. You can fly.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's booklet, Loneliness. You were created to enjoy a life of fellowship and fruitfulness, but so many people today feel trapped in an isolated existence. Discover how you can break free and step into the life of a loving community God wants for you with this helpful resource from Dr. Young. Loneliness is our special way to say thanks for your gift today to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Loneliness. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in next week as Dr. Young shares about how you can find supernatural comfort at the foot of the cross. That's Monday on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Have a great weekend.